KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
Arrhythmias that occur in the top part of the heart can be merely distracting or quite serious, such as atrial fibrillation in the atria, which carries a risk for stroke. But cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero says the most concerning rhythm disorder occurs in the ventricle.
The bottom part has some arrhythmias. The most significant one is ventricular fibrillation, which is the cause of sudden cardiac death, which is the number one cause of death in this country. It almost outweighs all cancers combined. Unfortunately, that could be the first presentation of heart disease, is sudden death. A small percentage of patients who show up with their first heart attack have sudden death, an arrhythmia problem, and that's devastating.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Debora Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Debora.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
No matter how long that line is, just wait.
Breaking news. Can Linda Kearns call in? They have four of their court-appointed election workers kicked out of polling places. Linda Kearns was just trying to call in, our great election integrity attorney.
I saw the bat line ringing.
So please, Linda, call in. Give us this breaking news
right
now.
Jimmy Kelly, pick up the phone back there, man.
So she had just tried to call at just within the past less than 90 seconds. But apparently four of the court-appointed election workers kicked out of polling places in our region. So that is concerning.
All right. Well, let's get to some of that news. As soon as we get her on the line, we'll bring her in. And then, Dawn, you can feel free to chop it up with her with the details that she can provide. 705, by the way, too. Also, we'll get to some of these numbers. According to Democrat data expert Tom Bonnier of Target Smart, some of the early voter turnout in certain key election demographics, we'll give you those. Yeah, Jimmy Kelly's going to have to pick up the phone, though. I don't know what he's doing back there.
We pick it up here. She's trying to call in.
I have no idea. Not sure how it works.
Would you like to produce the show today?
Ooh, a little snippy.
All right, well, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:06. Dawn Stensland.
So we are sponsored in the news this morning, as we do have breaking news. Word that there are some alleged election shenanigans that are happening in the Philadelphia region. So we'll get to that momentarily, as we hope that Jimmy Kelly picks up the phone and gets to it. But in the news this morning, there's a whole lot going on as we look at breaking news as Philadelphia police investigate what's going on this November 5th, Election Day. We do have a shooting that has happened, a 15-year-old injured and now recovering after that shooting near Temple University, North Philadelphia. So it happened yesterday afternoon, I will say, 4:30. So this was before sunset, 1700 block of North 12th Street. Temple officials sending out that alert to warn students in the area. And so concern, no doubt, as the shots rang out. Police say at the scene they found that victim suffering from the gunshot wound to the arm. The teen transported to Temple University Hospital, where the 15-year-old is now in stable condition. As usual, we don't have weapons recovered. We don't have a motive. We don't have any arrests. We know from Philadelphia police working with Temple University police, who are investigating this incident together, they say it does not appear any Temple students were involved in any way in this shooting. So the motive to this, and they're searching for the suspects, we don't have that information at all. And we do have as well road closures continuing this morning. So watch out for traffic delays or slowing down of traffic because of this after the Harris campaign's Election Eve rally there on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway, Center City, drawing thousands of attendees. Last night, lines were so long, we're told, getting into the event that some people were waiting all the way back by Logan Square. So Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey, Philadelphia Mayor Sherelle Parker, kicking off that event, which was right outside the Philadelphia Museum of Art, obviously, but they were calling it a star-studded lineup. Will these celebrities help get out the vote? Which we're hearing some concern from Democrat operatives this morning that they are concerned about a lackluster, a lack of passion, if you will, by Philadelphia voters. Will Lady Gaga help with that? Will Oprah? What about Jasmine Sullivan, Freeway and Just Blaze, DJ Cassidy, Fat Joe, DJ Jazzy Jeff, Ricky Martin? Will Ricky Martin and the Roots?
Ricky Martin.
I know. Will they help get out the vote?
I haven't heard that name in 20, 25 years.
I don't know. They seem to think
she's living la vida loca.
Oh, maybe they should have Linda Kern's Elvis, favorite Elvis tunes. I'm not so sure.
We do have Linda to go to right after your sponsor, so we'll get to her. She's on the line.
Good morning, Linda.
Linda, good morning. You're on Talk Radio 1210. Linda, go right ahead.
Good morning. I'm here in Philadelphia Election Court. I'm representing the Trump campaign and the RNC, and already four of our court-appointed minority inspectors, they're the election board workers at the polling places in Philadelphia, have been told by the Democrats in those divisions that they are not allowed to work, and they effectively kicked them out. So we sent lawyers to the scene. We're trying to get them back in. I reported it to the district attorney office, and we are on it. You know, Larry Krasner made a big deal yesterday with his press conference, Mr. Tough Guy. Well, Mr. Tough Guy better get his DAs and law enforcement to make sure that the law is followed, because these are election crimes and we're not going to tolerate it. And this just shows to every single voter, we need every single vote. Everyone needs to go out there, because this is what the Dems will do to us. So we need turnout. We need turnout to make sure that we win this election.
So go ahead, Dawn. Go ahead.
Just Linda Kearns, I mean, you are an attorney. You're talking about court-appointed election workers. On what basis is somebody kicking them out?
Because they don't want them in there. Dawn, there's always openings around election day because someone was not did not get elected to that position. We elect our election board workers every 4 years. There's always vacancies. There's always openings. The law allows us to appoint people to those positions. We did that a few weeks ago. We appointed 200 people to vacancies, 200 good Republicans to vacancies all throughout Philadelphia. And now the Democrats in those divisions have decided they don't want them to work, and they told them to get out. And I have lawyers on the scene right now, and we're working on it. But you know what, Dawn? Larry Krasner made a big show yesterday, a big press conference. This is an election law crime. This is a crime. So he better get on it, because he's not here just to protect the Democrats. He is here also to protect the Republicans. He's here to protect all voters and all election workers. This stuff happens every presidential election day in Philadelphia, and we are really tired of it. But we're ready, and we have our lawyers out there. And as soon as we get them back in, because that's what we're going to do, they are going to serve today. They are going to be poll workers today. So as soon as I get them back in, I'll text you and let you know so you can announce to your audience.
Can we ask you, Linda, here on Kale and Company News Live, can we ask you, I mean, is this a situation, since it's an election crime or alleged crime, have you called police or state police? Which law enforcement agency, or is it the Krasner so-called election task
force? I reported to the election task force. That's what I did. If they want to dispatch the police, they can, but they're the ones in charge. They set up this task force, so they better get cracking. Because when he did that press conference, it almost like he was talking about Republicans who were going to do something wrong. But you know what? It's the Democrats who are doing something wrong, and he better get on it after all his big words yesterday.
So, Linda, take us through this. You know, radio, theater of the mind. I want you to the best of your abilities to paint the picture of what just transpired. Take us into those rooms where those people are kicked out. What does the setup look like? What is the dynamic of Dem versus Republican? How close are they? Give us, paint a picture and a visual to the actual setting for my audience.
These are the workers that sit at the table and check you in. I heard you talking about it, Nick, the little lady at your precinct. These are the workers that check you in. There's a judge of elections, a majority inspector, and a minority inspector. That's their titles. There was openings for these minority inspectors, and we filed petitions to have about 200 people court appointed to these positions so that they could be in the polling place, help check people in, you know, lead people to the machines, do all the things that poll workers do. And when our people showed up, four different divisions this morning, before the polls even opened, the Democrats in those divisions said, we are not letting you in. We are not letting you work today. And that's even when they showed up with the court appointment signed by a judge.
Okay.
And so they told them to leave the polling places. They immediately called our hotline. We dispatched lawyers. I am here in election court if I need it, but this is a crime, and election court is a civil court. So we reported it to the district attorney's office, and we're working to get them back in, and we're not going to stop.
Yep.
Those workers are going to work in that division today.
Okay.
And it's a paid position by the county. I also reported it to the County Board of Elections, so hopefully they do something about it too, because this is a election interference. It's a crime. It's designed to discourage and demoralize Republicans, and we are not going to let it happen.
Take me, last one for me, and Dawn, if you have more, jump in. I just want to look at it on the national level. I've seen Laura Trump tweet out that they have 230,000 poll watchers and observers, and they have 500 attorneys on standby in all of the battleground states. You're an attorney. You're into election integrity. Do you feel like those numbers that Laura Trump has tweeted about, 230,000 and then 500, is that an adequate number to ensure that this whole thing is a free and fair election, in your opinion?
So what she was talking about was poll watchers or poll observers. What we did in Philadelphia, when we found vacancies, we actually appointed election board workers. And we also have poll watchers where we can't find where we couldn't find the workers. So we have coverage here in Pennsylvania, all over Philadelphia, and all over the Commonwealth. I mean, you know, Nick, we could always use more, but we have really good coverage all over this Commonwealth. And I know from my meetings with all of my counterparts all across the states that they have similar operations. So we are ready. We have eyes and ears in all of these polling places.
Okay.
Linda, we're hearing from people, especially in Delaware County at the courthouse there, that they haven't even, that there are delays and they feel there are shenanigans that have already begun.
Yep. I have people on that. They were late in printing out their poll watcher certificates, so the people had to go to the courthouse this morning. So I better get off the radio and get on that one.
All right.
But I wanted Philadelphia to know that we are fighting. I wanted greater Pennsylvania to know that we are on this, we are fighting, and these are the tricks that Democrats do, and we cannot let it happen. And the way we don't let it happen is that we win this election. So we need every single vote.
Linda Kearns, thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
There she is, Linda Kearns.
Speaking of, you know, D.A. Krasner, the D.A.'s office yesterday announcing that election task force officially activated. That's what Linda Kearns was referring to. And this is for the municipal primary election, which started 7 o'clock this morning for Pennsylvania this November 5th. So polling location complaints, any reported situations, infractions, violations of the Pennsylvania Election Code, which is what's being alleged across our region. It's important that you call, and I just wanted to give that number. So the website is pa.protectthevote.com, or you can call their hotline, 866-OUR-VOTE, O-U-R-VOTE, and it's 686-9641. So if you are out there at your local precinct across the region, not just in Philadelphia, but even across the region, call this hotline number and you'll get through, or go to pa.protectthevote.com. But it's important that you call, even call into us. I'll text Linda if you give us your exact location, because we want to make sure that this election, I mean, all of us should want that, right? That should be a common thing, right, Nick and Greg?
I think if Laura Trump's numbers are accurate, and that's why I wanted to pose that question to Linda. I mean, remember, she jumped all over the situation in Bucks County with the lines being shut down hours too soon. Obviously, we had the one in Luzerne County that got sniffed out. So I know everybody's on high alert, anxiety, emotions running high, scared of what happened 4 years ago happening again, all of that. But when you have 230,000 poll watchers and observers and 500 lawyers, now look, nothing is ever absolute, but I really do believe that Whatley and Laura Trump have the adequate number of people to ensure that this thing is about as legit as it can be. Are things going to slip through the cracks? Of course. Nothing's absolute. Nothing's 100%. But I think they put those numbers out for a reason, and I do think that everything will be investigated and vetted. Some of it will be validated and confirmed. Other things will be misinformation, disinformation, people taking a video out of context or something that was a lie, and I think they'll get to the bottom of anything that is substantial and anything that is legitimate. So I have faith in that. Just be patient, right? This is going to take some time. Yeah, you're not going to get everything right exactly as you want it, but I think you're in good hands this time around, as I think that group has done much, much better than Ronna McDaniel. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, we'll get to more of your calls. The cut sheet coming up 7:45. And then let's crunch some numbers. It's not the most exhilarating radio, but it's important. What do the early voting numbers that are now officially finalized look like? We'll get an update from Stocker. And then also, according to Target Smart, where the urban and female turnouts are down in the swing states, yet the rural turnout is up. We'll give you those numbers on the other side. Kale and Company, we're back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Get us live on the free Odyssey app. Watch the show on YouTube. Don't forget, tonight, election night in America, primetime coverage. We will be live, all of us, throughout the evening. As soon as Rich wraps up the Rich the Only Show at 7 o'clock, we will begin our election coverage. Myself, Don Stenslin, Rich Zeoli in the first hour. Jimmy Fail is scheduled to appear. Mike Opelka will be joining us at some point throughout the night. Our boy Matt Rooney will be with us. And then Dom Giordano will anchor and lead the coverage from 9 o'clock into the late hours of tonight. So we will all be live. You'll be able to watch all of it on YouTube, so that'll be a very cool thing. I've got my, I had to basically grab my kitchen table. I'm going to swing the kitchen table into the living room and set up like a makeshift broadcast desk in front of my big screen TV. So hopefully the lighting is okay. If it's not, that's fine. I'm ugly anyway. You'll get my opinions, and we'll have fun. So we have all of that for you. All right, so let's get some numbers here. I've got some numbers to give out as well, but I do want to see what the final early voting numbers looked like. And I have the sheet from yesterday because I jotted it down as Stocker was reading them off. So we'll see if anything has changed. Early voter turnout. Now, if you recall yesterday, Republicans led the way in Georgia by 3, North Carolina by 1 point, Arizona by 9, Nevada by 4. And nationally, it was Democrats plus 2. But then in the Big Ten swing states of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, it was PA, the Dems up 24, Democrats up 8 in Wisconsin, and 3 in Michigan. Let's see if anything has changed here, Greg Stocker.
So 79 million and change have cast mail-in or early in-person voting nationally. Right now it's still stuck at 41-39-20.
Okay.
Let's just look at gender. It's still 53-44. Age still 39-27. There's a slight uptick in the 40 to 49 year old demo.
Gen Xers.
Yeah, but 39% 65 and over, 27% 50 to 64.
Okay.
All right, let's start with PA.
Mm-hmm.
PA, I mean PA, the mail-in numbers, it's like 1.8 right now. And it's 56-32 Democrats to Republicans and 11% other.
Okay, so that remains a 24-point margin, zero movement there, and zero movement nationally with Dems plus 2.
Is everything processed?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know if everything's processed.
Because that's one thing we were hearing yesterday was that there were the report was hundreds of thousands of mail-in ballots were not processed. That was something I know that the attorneys were looking at, but I just wonder, and I apologize, I don't have that info, and in fact the attorneys didn't have it either.
By the way, Nick, I got a text from a one of my friends who's in Northampton County, and they went to vote right at 7 o'clock and said 150 people deep.
Yeah.
Wow. Because it's like Bethlehem Township.
Well, that's amazing. So. That's half of Bethlehem Township's population.
Yeah, I'm getting texts from friends all across, whether it's Pennsylvania, Delaware County, even in South Jersey. Everybody's saying that there are long lines or they have problems. I know in Mount Holly, South Jersey, in those areas, they have three different townships with machines that are down, printers that are down. So this is widespread. It's across not just Pennsylvania, but also South Jersey.
You know what's remarkable? Is they're like, you know, they have one job, right?
I know.
Like, you ever see that segment they do on NFL Sunday Countdown? You had one job like a kicker. Your job is to kick the football and make the kick, right? And you can't do your one job. All right, but I dig.
Michigan, 3.2 million, which is a lot.
Okay.
Democrats and Republicans tied 44%.
Wow.
12.
So yesterday it was Dems plus 3
yep.
in Michigan. Now it's a tie.
Yep.
All right.
Wisconsin.
Yep.
Other 41%, Democrat 34%, Republican 25%.
All right, so Dems actually go up from plus 8 to plus 9 in Wisconsin.
1.6 million ballots.
Okay.
So I want to, because Iowa's in the news, I wanted to bring this up to you guys.
Uh-huh. You were in the news?
Iowa was in the news.
I thought you said I was in the news.
Stalker's in the news.
Democrats and Republicans are tied in Iowa, 39%, 22% other.
Not good.
That is a shocker. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Iowa?
Iowa. If they're looking for... Iowa hasn't always been red. It really hasn't. Uh-huh. No, it hasn't. Iowa is like right there on the border with Wisconsin, so they kind of mirror each other sometimes.
Okay.
But if that's a trend of what's happening in Iowa, yeah, I don't know. Let's look at Georgia.
Yep.
Georgia is 48-45 Republicans.
That stays plus 3.
7% other, and that's 4 million ballots in. By the way, Georgia's at like 81% voted already. So these numbers, you know, North Carolina as well, 4.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
35% other is in the lead. Republicans at 33, Democrats at 32.
That remains plus 1. So you talk about the percentage of people in the state that are registered that have already voted in Carolina and Georgia. Folks, if you want an early outcome tonight and early results, you might get it, because if this goes in Trump's favor, if 81% of Georgia has already voted, if a massive amount of North Carolina has already voted, if Trump wins those two states, we're just waiting then for Pennsylvania. Because if it's checkmark Trump in Carolina, and if it's checkmark Trump in Georgia,
yep.
everything else is inconsequential, right? All he needs is Pennsylvania. Michigan doesn't matter. Wisconsin doesn't matter. Arizona, Nevada, none of that matters. So if you want the early result tonight, you know, by maybe like 1 in the morning, I'll be asleep regardless. But you know, we'll talk about it at 6 a.m. There's your quick path to victory and results.
Can I say this? Iowa, and I'm reading from the Des Moines Register, Greg.
Yeah.
Iowa, quote, has largely been written off as a red state, with both presidential candidates focusing their time in 7 battleground states. And so when you look at the past, what do you learn? The last two presidential elections went in favor of Trump in Iowa. He beat Hillary Clinton by 9 percentage points in 2016, defeated Biden in Iowa by 8 points in 2020. But Iowa, remember, back in the caucuses in 2008, launched Obama. And so it is interesting that right now, when you look at what Greg just reported, Iowa is interesting, especially after that, I don't know, sort of strange poll that came out of Iowa yesterday showing Harris ahead.
Mm-hmm.
What can we learn? But then New Hampshire, they're saying, on the other side of that, is the poll going that people aren't talking about, New Hampshire going for Trump. So we're seeing some upside down land, kind of different stuff. What does it tell us? I just want to point that out.
You have some more numbers?
Let's go to New Hampshire. Okay. 37% Democrat, 33% Republicans, 30% other.
Okay.
Again, and there's 75,000 ballots.
Just out of curiosity, can you check Virginia?
Virginia.
I'm curious to what Virginia looks like.
50% Democrat, 38% Republican, 12% other. That's with 2.3 million.
Democrats plus 12. Okay. Here's some numbers, and then I promise we'll take your calls. I don't want to inundate you with numbers on the radio. It's the worst thing you can ever do. Trust me, as a sports guy, I used to throw my head into a windshield every time I heard people reading box scores. Target Smart and Democrat data expert Tom Bonnier, B-O-N-I-E-R, apologies if I butchered that name, has some interesting trends when it comes to urban turnout, female turnout, and rural turnout. And he's posted these for all seven of the swing states, but I just want to give you the three that matter most for Trump, again, that being North Carolina, Georgia, and Pennsylvania. In North Carolina, this is as of yesterday, November 4th, so the numbers might have changed a little bit since then, and certainly can here on Election Day. Urban turnout in North Carolina, compared to this point in 2020, is down 175,470 votes. The female turnout, compared to this point in 2020, is down 154,459 votes. Yet rural turnout, and keep in mind, rural North Carolina got hit hard by the weather, is up 26,911 votes compared to 2020. So that's Carolina. Let me give you Georgia. Urban turnout down 153,000 votes compared to 2020. Female turnout down 46,000 votes. Rural turnout up 171,000 votes. And then here in Pennsylvania, now they do not give rural, but they do give urban and female. Urban turnout down 381,000 compared to 2020. Yeah. And female turnout is down 450,000. Unless they're all waiting for today, November 5th, that's interesting. And I bring up the urban turnout, obviously, because Kamala Harris, minority candidate, and also female turnout post Roe v. Wade, right? Like that is the albatross of Republicans in elections where, you know, abortion has been on the ballot. I think they're like 0 for 10 or something like that. So these numbers are fascinating. And this is coming from a Democrat pollster, or not a pollster, a data expert from the company Target Smart. So I just wanted to share that.
So, Salt Queen asked for New Jersey, so I will give them New Jersey. It's only like 728,000 ballots, 730,000. 59% Democrat, 21% Republican, 20% other.
Yeah. Well, I tried my best last Saturday.
What was Arizona? 42 Republican, 33 Democrat, 25 other.
Okay.
And what's the other swing state over there? Nevada? Did we do Nevada?
Yes, we did.
All right.
Yes. By the way, for the hell of it, since Trump went to Madison Square Garden, let's take a look at New York.
52-25-23.
Oh, I was told New York was in play.
There's only 3.3 million ballots cast, so yeah. that's not a huge, because, I mean, how many people are in New York?
Oh, 12 million, something like that. Yeah. Bunch of Phil Almquist Jet fans over there. All right, 855-839-1210. Let's grab some calls before we get to the cut sheet coming up next segment. Oh, boy, where do I want to go here? Let's go. Karen's been on for hold forever. Karen in Delco, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Karen, you go ahead.
Good morning.
Hey, Karen.
Hi. I was first in line, Springfield, and I was there by 6:35, and by time they opened the doors at 7 o'clock, there had to be 25 or 30 people in line behind me. I will say it seemed like the line went quickly.
Good.
They had a little trouble because I was first and they had a new little computer kind of thing there to log in. But by the time I finished voting, it's not a long ballot. You know, we have multiple choice, fill in the little dot. So yeah, just to let you know, I thought, let me give you guys a call and tell you. Right. 25 or 30, 7 o'clock.
Okay. And you were in and out. So roughly by the time you went in and you got out to your car, what are we talking? 15, 20 minutes?
Oh no. Well, I was first in line. So 10 minutes, 5 minutes. All yeah, right. It was fast.
Okay.
I've worked that poll, so I know the people and had to say, hi, how's everybody? You know? But I'm all in for Trump, and I'm hoping a lot of the people behind me were too.
Okay. Karen, thank you very much. We appreciate you chiming in. There she is, Karen from Delco. Smooth process for her. Let's try Wayne in Levittown. Levittown's been a popular spot for talk radio lately. Yeah, Wayne, go right ahead.
That's where they had the issues on Friday.
Yes. Wayne, what's happening?
Hey, good morning. Trump 2024. There was about 1,000 people in line at the Levittown, Harry S. Truman, and on the one section that I was, for, there was already 100 people that, they signed their names on, and there was 10 different sections. So, and then there was more people just keep coming. That place was mobbed. It took me 40 minutes to get in there and out.
Okay.
How would you compare that from last year, last presidential elections?
Every time I vote, it's never been like that. During COVID and even before that, I never seen it like that.
Very interesting. Wayne, thank you for the phone call. It's a small sample size, phone calls or tweets or videos or what you see on television. I said that I did not expect the total voter turnout to be what it was in 2020, in large part because I think Harris is going to be under the 81 million number. I think Trump is going to go above 74 million this time around. But I don't know, and I'm trying not to be prisoner of the moment, for so many people that were saying election fatigue and the double hater, sure, that changed.
That was, that changed when Biden got out of the race.
Right. So now all of a sudden I'm thinking, maybe we could eclipse, so what was it, 81 and 74, that's 155 million. Could we see 160 million total this time around? Is it possible? We'll see. We'll obviously look at those numbers.
You think you originally thought maybe we would have less?
Less total combined,
if it was Biden and Trump, yes.
Yes.
I think...
I thought Trump was going to go up and the Democrat nominee was going to go down and the total would be less.
I think, to me personally, I think this was going to be an historic turnout, either with Biden or Harris.
Yeah, I'm getting that sense now.
Yeah. I think that, and I believe that we have registered voters, who longtime registered voters, who haven't voted in years. And I think that part of this is, and I'm telling you, it's like a weird combination of these endorsements, bringing out different people who say, you know what, this time I'm going to vote. Whether it's Dr. Rand Paul who has activated people, whether it's Elon Musk.
Patrick Mahomes' mom last night in the press box had a MAGA hat on and was doing a video saying she was voting for Trump. The NFL, the quarterback of the NFL, right, the top guy, Patrick, his mom's coming out there. Like, to your point, I do think this time around there are less closet Trump supporters, more willing to come out and say, you know what, it's the third time around and don't judge me. Look at your candidate, right?
I believe the numbers we're going to see, and a lot of people coming out saying, you know what, Donald J. Trump told me to vote early. What did people do? They voted early. And that's why we saw those historic numbers, right? And now we see people, I think this is a referendum. It's not just a referendum on the current leadership at the top of the ticket. It's a referendum on all of it. The pandemic, the media, the shutdown, all of it.
How about
I think
Roe?
This is a huge...
How about Roe? Is there a referendum
on
Roe?
I will tell you, Greg, that I think that primary elections, off-season elections, if you will, are different than presidential years. And so I think that, this is as much a referendum. We'll find out. But I don't think that this is as much a referendum on that, because that's old news. We've been dealing with that. And if you're smart, anybody who's smart understands that anybody at the top of the ticket as a president who claims they can do something about abortion, they're lying. Whether it's Trump or whether it's Harris or whether it's Biden, the honest to God's truth is it's a state's issue. Anybody who tries to do some referendum for publicity, it's going to get smacked down by SCOTUS. So if you're a smart person, if you're educated on what's going on, it is no longer a federal issue. It's at the states. That's the truth. And so I think a lot of people who are smart people know that. I think this is more of a referendum on what has been going on. And this dates back to not just the media, not just the shadow banning, not just J6, but the pandemic shutdowns and the mandates.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
What's on? The Cut Sheet!
What's in the cut sheet on this Tuesday? Sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. I don't have a script for Cherry Hill Volvo, but you know where they are. Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. You know them. They are one of the longest and best sponsors on 1210 WPHD. We could not do that without Judith Krupnik and all of her support. We love Cherry Hill Volvo. Please check them out. Or at least go in there and just say thank you for supporting 1210 WPHD all these years. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Check them out on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter. Okay, let's start with Philly, since Pennsylvania seems to be the big story today. Hat tip to Road Warrior for sending this to me. I always like to give credit. You know, we do requests here. So, you have any the cuts you would like played, send them to me.
Yeah. I get requests all day long via text.
Van Jones last night on CNN said that he's worried and nervous about Philadelphia because of the big margins. They need to run big margins in Philadelphia to win, meaning the Harris campaign. And if they don't, they're in trouble in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Cut 11, Phil, go.
Philadelphia is where we've got to run up a big margin. But Philly overall has been trending down, not in terms of going toward the Republicans, just people not getting out to vote. And so you got people out there like Pastor Carl Day, who's got a bunch of young men with him, knocking on doors, trying to get people to come out. It's a bigger, tougher fight in Philly to get that vote count up than it has been in the past. That has me worried. The other thing that has me worried is that the Jewish vote in the suburban areas, Biden won the Jewish vote by 70%, 70-30 last time. Some polls show Kamala at 50-50. That is 70,000 votes we've bled away. That is the margin for victory. So you got groups like Zioness, Amanda Berman out there fighting to get the Jewish vote back on board. This is a tough
Trump campaign doing ads.
And the Trump campaign pushing the other direction. So this is it is door to door, bruised knuckles, tired legs, a lot of coffee, and I'm nervous and worried, and I'm not going to be anyway until this thing gets called.
Okay, is there anything that is making you happy about Pennsylvania?
No, there's nothing making me happy about Pennsylvania. You got David Urban out there causing us trouble in the rural parts of the state. Get David Urban on this show and keep him here all day, and then I'll feel better.
Just don't let him leave.
I don't want him out there.
Same question to you. Is anything making you happy about Pennsylvania? Is everything making you nervous?
I just have to say, if only there's something that Kamala Harris could have done early in this campaign to help with the Jewish voters of Pennsylvania, could it have been that the governor of Pennsylvania is a Jewish American who would have been, and a very popular one.
Just because if she's been trying to be her, it doesn't mean every Jew is going to be voting for her.
I mean, it might have meant a whole bunch of Pennsylvanians voting for her. This could go down as
moving
the biggest,
on.
I'm just saying. Anyway, I understand.
So I do think the Shapiro thing is to some extent a quantifiable miscalculation. How much? I have no idea. 1%, 5%, 10% more Jewish vote for the Democrat nominee, Kamala Harris. Democrat installed candidate, I should say. It would be wild if she does lose in Pennsylvania. And when you think about how much time both her and Joe have spent in Pennsylvania, I don't know if it's got to be over 30-some visits in the last 3.5 to 4 years. Now, I don't think the Jewish vote's going to go 50-50. I did see one poll that had Trump getting 2/3 support, so I don't believe that either. But if Trump can just be at 40%, Ronald Reagan set the record for Republican candidates with 40% of the Jewish vote. I forget what year. It might have been, I don't know if it was 80 or 84, but Reagan has it at 40%. If Trump can get to 40%, and I don't know that he can, but if he can, and then Kamala underperforms with urban voters in Philadelphia, right there's your recipe for disaster. That's why Van Jones has heartburn right now. No question.
Speaking of Philadelphia, they had the big rally last night in Philadelphia.
How many celebrities came to?
Oh, it was a lot.
Yeah.
Let's start out with Josh Shapiro. This is cut 14, Phil. He did his best Obama impression.
He's doing that again.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Cut 14. This is on the Parkway last night. The closing rally. By the way, this video courtesy of PBS. I have to give them all credit. Cut 14, Phil, go.
And so tomorrow, Let us come together.
See?
Can we pause that?
Stop.
Just stop that right there. Now, we know weird things can impact your ability to win an election or become a nominee, right? DeSantis was a weird guy. He was coached up. It was just odd. Now, we're in the weeds. Do you think the casual person is picking up on his Obama plagiarism? Or is that just something that the three of us are like?
If you listen to this program, you do.
I know. Yeah. But, like, is that something that works against Shapiro in the future if the common folk says, dude, are you trying to be Obama? Right?
How can you listen to that clip? And, Phil, I'm going to ask you to start it over again. But
yeah, sorry about that.
How can you listen to that clip and not say, this guy is trying to be Barack Obama?
Yes.
It is. There's no question in my mind.
He's the white Jewish Obama. He's trying to be.
All right, start it over, Phil.
And so tomorrow, let us come together to write this next chapter where we are more free, more tolerant, and where we are united in the cause of liberty and justice for all.
And the Lord said, you got to rise up.
My fellow Pennsylvanians, my fellow Americans.
I'm telling
you. The task now falls to each of us. And together, let us make history and elect Kamala Harris the next president of the United States. May God bless you. Let's get to work, Philly. Let's make it happen.
And never forget, she snubbed me for Mr. Potato Head.
Wow. By the way, Phil, good work on this, because I wanted to pull this, but I wanted to give you time. Did you guys see last night in Reading, Pennsylvania, Kamala Harris went door to door herself?
I did see this, but I refused to comment because I didn't know if it was fake. It almost looks too fake to be true.
Phil, can you play this real fast? She goes up to the door. They knock.
Yep.
There's a boom mic and the thing, so you can see it. This is obviously somebody's cell phone video. Was this broadcast?
Hi. Hi. Oh my God. Can I help you?
Well, there's a Harris voter right there.
How are you? I'm Kayla. This is my husband, Henry. Hi, Henry.
Harris. Henry's been emasculated. Poor guy. Tarp with the leaves.
Oh, you got my floater ready, because I'm going to be working the polls.
You are.
One of the major.
So she already voted, so is this a non-scripted, staged...
Well, here's my question. Phil, can you pause it for a second? Here's my question. Is that, wouldn't it be beneficial, because they have the data.
Yeah.
The Harris campaign has the data. They know who's voted. They know who's not voted. They know if you're independent. They know if you're Republican. They know if you're Democrat. Wouldn't it behoove her to go to a non-supporter's house?
I would think it would behoove her to go to somebody that either is undecided or somebody that will still go cast their vote on election day.
For what would that look like, though?
Yeah.
If she comes to somebody's house who says, I'm not voting for you.
Yeah, you never want to do
that's
that.
Captured.
Could you imagine if she did that and the Trump supporter came out? And...
Oh, I don't know, guys. I think that if she, it's, people are, look, guys, Kamala Harris comes to somebody's door. Nobody's going, I'm not voting for you. And nobody's doing that. When you're face-to-face with somebody, it's a lot different than when you're a tough keyboard warrior.
Yeah, but remember when, and that was a bad look, I thought, when she was in Delco at that CNN town hall.
Yeah.
And you had, 32 plus, maybe 33 people in a room, and less than half actually said that they would vote for her to her face.
Mm.
I mean, if you can't make that kind of, and she was like going up to people, shaking their hand, having a private conversation afterwards, and then they talked to them afterwards, and those people still said, and I think they were, to your point, being polite, and said, oh, well, I'm still on the fence. Baloney.
Mm-hmm.
They were not on the fence. They just were being polite.
Yeah.
But can you imagine how devastating that is? If you're meeting just like 30 people in a room and you can't convince them.
Mm-hmm.
In that small setting, that you're the one, or you have answers.
Right.
Jeez,
Has this ever been done before?
I've never seen anything like it. That's why I thought it was fake. I didn't even think that was an authentic video
because it looks pathetic. It looks pathetic, you guys, doesn't it?
I don't know what that accomplishes, right? Like, what is the... Yeah, well, I already did vote, but I'm a... What does she say? She's a poll watcher or something like that? Their strategy... They've had moments where I've sat there and I've said, boy, they missed the boat on that one.
I mean, it's kind of sweet, I guess, that the lady obviously voted... The couple voted for her. The lady's excited and hugs her, and I guess that's sweet, but it's kind of also... I don't know. It just seemed like, ooh, it's a little pathetic.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
Do you feel that or
no? Yeah, no, it's just, on the eve of an election, I don't know really what the end game result, like, what are you trying to achieve there?
Because usually you want excitement and momentum.
Or stage the whole thing. Everything else about her is scripted. Have that lady walk out, because we don't know who that lady is. We don't know where that's from. We don't know her official voting status as to whether. Have her come out and be like, oh, I was a little on the fence, but oh my God, you're here in person. You know what? You know, on second thought, oh yeah, right? Like you sell it like it's a production. It's a bizarre campaign.
It is, but.
Bizarre, because they don't talk about policy.
If you listen to the numbers that Greg gave out as of this moment, it's going to be a long election day. But if you listen to the numbers that Greg gave out as of this moment, just remember, as of this moment, the vice president, she's on track, it would seem, to potentially become the next president of the United States of America. The numbers benefit her if all the Democrats vote.
And also, you know, when you talk about what the potential outcomes are, who wins, who loses, what the Electoral College looks like, what those two numbers are in victory and defeat, what the popular vote looks like, this is not going to be an election that we sit there and we say, wow, I didn't see that coming, right? Like, you know, if Kamala Harris wins, it's because of X, Y, or Z. If Donald Trump wins, it's because of X, Y, or Z. How do we know that? Because we've talked about it for almost a year and a half straight since the primaries began, since way back when people were launching their campaigns in the spring of 2023. We've laid out the policy successes. We've laid out the policy failures. We've talked about all the issues from economy to immigration to war to Trump derangement. We've talked about all the qualitative and the quantitative. We've talked about the measurables, the stuff that you can't measure. So there should be no result short of a true landslide. Like if either one of what was the number that McCain got in? What did he get? 173
or something?
Right. Short of some electoral college number like that, nothing should really shock anybody, in my opinion.
I'm getting all kinds of texts from friends. One friend, this is South Jersey, says 22 years, and she's never seen anything like it. That she blocked out 3 hours to vote and then 3 hours to take her mom to vote, but is showing long lines outside polling places. This is across New Jersey, Pennsylvania. I would just say
voting by mail is so easy. Why did I?
Yeah, more people have to. By the way, Linda Kern said they were successful with just the update that they've got 3 of those court appointed election workers. 3 of them are back in and they're still working on the 4th. And so, Please, Linda Kearns, just saying, please keep these updates coming so that the attorneys can make sure. Because here's the thing. Let's just say that Greg's numbers were, which look at those numbers that Greg Stocker gave earlier. And so if you listen to those, you have by far Democrats outnumbering Republicans, the independent vote, of course, in play. But think about the impact on this, that if you have all these shenanigans starting early this morning and continuing throughout the day, then it causes more people, no matter what that result is, to feel, that it was stolen or to feel a certain way. So why not everybody come together and make sure that this election process is trustworthy, it's transparent, right, that we're full of integrity so that people, whether it's tomorrow... whether it's, 3 or 4 days from now, whatever that result looks like, the people can trust it.
They said we will have Pennsylvania's results by tomorrow night. Not tomorrow night, by Wednesday night. Yeah, that's
which is tomorrow night.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah.
Great. Great. So we'll just, and then we'll have to wait for Arizona, right?
Well.
Maricopa County.
Because of that slapnut county.
Yeah.
10 to 13 days. But I can't see that. I can't really see it being 10 to 13 days. But just the fact that they even said that a few weeks ago has my blood boiling.
You know what? I have this funny feeling it's not going to matter.
But you're right, it doesn't. If he takes Georgia, Carolina, and Pennsylvania, we know by tomorrow night.
Yeah, if past his prologue, if Trump gets, early on, gets all of these swing states, then we know from the past, we know what happens. Yep. That as those swing states go, they all go for whatever reason. It's kind of kooky, but I'm just saying, if past his prologue and Trump is taking these swing states, he wins the presidency.
And if we don't know Pennsylvania until tomorrow night, you know what that means, folks. No big take tomorrow at 6:15. We're just gonna talk about everything that we know and everything that we don't know. We're just gonna shoot the breeze and riff on all this stuff and try to make sense of what the hell we watched tonight.
Just remember, if you're in line before 8 p.m., that they must allow you to vote, and that's important because we may see long lines. So just remember, take some snacks.
Take some water, okay? Yeah. For the coffee crowd that loves to just slug coffee and not hydrate. Probably not a good idea to drink 80 ounces of coffee, not eat, and not have water, because eventually you're just going to shrivel up and collapse. I've been there.
What do you do if you're in line for like an hour or two, and then you have to use the restroom?
You just go. And I'm not saying leave the line, you just go. Just like Lloyd told Harry and Dumb and Dumber, just go, Lloyd.
Where those old June Allison D-pens.
That's right. Soil yourself.
So what's the? Does anybody have a total of how many people were on the parkway last night?
I'm seeing thousands. I'm seeing record. I don't see a body count.
Jimmy Matthews says 100,000. Is that true?
There are some people saying that. I don't have enough. Usually the police are the ones, law enforcement, because they have a way of counting, and sometimes they have drones. But for some reason, I'm not seeing the number.
All right, let's go to...
I'll look for it.
Let's cut 15 here, Phil. One of the opening acts for Lady Gaga. Because it was actually a Lady Gaga concert. And then for all the Gen Xers out there, Oprah came out.
Ah, jeez. By the way, did she say that if Trump wins...
Ask what your country can do for you.
Oh, sorry.
Ask what you can do...
Sorry.
By the way, I was going to ask. Did she, and maybe she's going to say it here, so I hate to steal the thunder of the clip. Did she say that if Trump wins, your voting rights will be gone in the future?
I didn't watch the entire thing.
Okay.
I watched it literally at 5:30.
All right.
So
I've heard people saying that. And
better things to do with my life last night.
If we have that clip, or if Phil or Jimmy or anybody can find it, I'd like to hear that, because I can't believe that. Well, I guess I could believe it, but Trump's Hitler, apparently.
Let's play a little bit of this.
All right.
Go.
He said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Well, I'm here to tell you that what you can do for your country, what you can do for democracy here, and what you can do for the spirit of John Lewis and all the others who dared to walk across that bridge in Selma and fight for justice for us all. What you can do for every pregnant young woman who has died because she was not eligible to receive the emergency medical care she desperately needed because of an abortion ban, what you can do for yourself and what you can do for everyone and everything you cherish is vote. And if you are watching or hearing me right now and you haven't already, you have got to vote. And listen, I know that some of you are feeling burnt out and bruised and maybe inconsequential. Nothing could be further from the truth. Every single vote, every one is going to matter. That's why I've come to Philadelphia tonight. And yesterday I was all the way across the country, and I was hiking on a Sunday afternoon, and I met a woman named Angela. Who told me?
Oh, here we go.
Zero chance she was hiking.
Some lie. Yeah. Some lie.
Yeah, enough of her. Enough of her. Yeah, they couldn't get Oprah. They couldn't get Michelle, so they settled on Kamala. You know, this is another one of these absurdities. By the way, too, the way she frames that, you're beaten down, you're battered, you're bruised. It's like, wait, are you trying to imply that we're wrapping up the first term or the fourth year of Trump? Because if you're beaten down, battered, and bruised, it's because of the last 4 years under Joe and Kamala. And they really have tried to make this turning the page concept. Like, Trump's the incumbent, and she's the agent of change. She's not the agent of change. She's a continuation of the last 4 years, and it could actually be worse.
And then Kamala Harris took the stage after 2+ hours.
It's interesting that when you're the candidate, you're like the fourth on the totem pole as far as being the headliner. Isn't that interesting?
All right, play Kamala.
Oh, it's good to be back in the city of brotherly love. Where the foundation of our democracy was forged. And here at these famous steps, a tribute to those who start as the underdog and climb to victory.
She's not the underdog,
so
she's the incumbent.
America comes down to this. One more day, just one more day in the most consequential election of our lifetime, and the momentum is on our side.
The Big Mo.
Our campaign has tapped into the ambitions and the aspirations and the dreams of the American people. We are optimistic and we are excited about what we can do together. And we know it is time for a new generation of leadership in America.
Dawn, do you think the I know you mentioned that right there. Do you think
generation of leadership?
Do you think the underdog card is selling for her? I don't. Even if you are in theory the underdog according to a poll or a betting market, do you really want to play that underdog card up publicly? Maybe behind closed doors, but I don't even know that that works as a tactic to get people galvanized.
Look at the crowd. Do you feel that? This, I mean, I would love to hear from somebody who was there, because it is, like Jimmy Matthews said, it's a huge crowd. They did a great job with security. I just want to point that out because it's Philadelphia. I was looking for any reports of any problems. Beautiful job. I always worry about Philadelphia events, right? Great security. Everybody was safe. It was, by the look of it, a lovely event that was pulled off in the city of Philadelphia. And if I'm Mayor Sherelle Parker this morning, you know, I'm feeling good about that, that it was a good look for Philadelphia on that national stage. And so I would say, quite frankly, Philadelphia and the look of it is the bigger winner. Because if you look at that crowd, I just don't get the feel of this swell of energy or passion or momentum.
On that note, I also wonder how many people of whatever that attendance was, 80,000, 100,000, 14 people. I wonder how many of them are specifically there for, quote, the free concert, right? I mean, we work in radio. People love free things. I like free things. Anytime we get free swag, scoop it up.
Well, I mean, Lady Gaga only performed the God Bless America.
I know. But
and
like
Jon Bon Jovi performed one song. Not even there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But we also have people that just love celebrities, right? And it's just, you talk about the energy being low. How many of those people, and again, I don't think rallies or crowd size really matters one way or the other for an election result, but how many of those people would show up if it was just Kamala, Shapiro, and Sherelle, right? Like, if you didn't bring Obama, if you didn't bring Oprah, if you didn't bring Michelle, if you didn't bring the A-listers, right?
Yeah.
Like, because all those people there, and it's just, even though there might be 100,000 people, I've heard 100,000 crowds much more raucous than that.
Raucous.
I simply think it comes down to the fact that they have okay, not that I believe in those things, but I, right here, could have stood in front of that crowd and written a speech for her that was a winning closing argument.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Talking about men in power, talking about, you know, talking about your body and having control over that, talking about getting played, talking about women's reproductive rights, in other words, it's medication, seeing it that, like, I could write something that is a better closing argument, mm-hmm, about things that I don't believe in,
right,
okay?
Right.
But just off the top of my head.
Yeah, from a strategy
standpoint.
Fire
up that crowd.
Sure.
To fire them up,
yep,
and say, this is why you need to get, and you, not just you, But you need to talk to your neighbors, your friends, your mom, your whatever, and get these people. She doesn't do it.
No.
She doesn't close the deal or excite people, incite people to vote.
I think, yeah. Why? I think the difference.
How could that be?
The difference is, I think Trump voters love Trump. Harris voters hate Trump.
Now, I
don't think there's a love for Kamala Harris.
I'm going to disagree with you, Nick, and that is this, that it's that's just it. It's not about Trump. It's not about Trump. It's about a quality of life. That's what it's about. It's a quality of life, and it's something that has been taken away from us, small business people. And this all started, again, it's not just a referendum, in my humble opinion, about the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. It's about Democrats, even statewide and locally here in Pennsylvania. And I think we have to put that in perspective, because Democrats might say, well, how come? How come there's, you know, when Van Jones says, what's going on in Philadelphia? Why are they not excited? Well, let's think about everybody who's really pissed off at the fact that they closed our schools. They banned our children. Yes. They banned our children from schools. And guess what? Philadelphia kids. And that's when you realized how much it sucked, because they didn't have devices. They didn't have freaking Wi-Fi. Parents were standing in line. Now kids have a mental health crisis. Then the kids are medicated. Then you wonder why they're being recruited by a gang, because they were on medication. Then they go off the medication. I mean, it's a hot mess. Mm-hmm. People are furious. Then their grandparents dying in the nursing homes. Who did that? Democrats did it. And so this is all part of this. And you talk about women and mothers and grandmothers. And so for the Democrats right now to try to look at this and wrap their brain around, well, why isn't she exciting Democrats? That's why.
Mm-hmm. I agree with everything you just said. Rack that take by Dawn.
Boom.
That and the best of.
But she can't sell it. It's like she can't even... I don't know.
No, they're putting all their eggs in the basket on Trump's Hitler. He's a threat to democracy and female reproductive rights. That's their campaign. In a nutshell.
But she doesn't say things that are just in a plain way what she believes in. When you ask somebody who is a Democrat, well, what is it about Kamala Harris that you like or that she believes in? They can't really tell you what she believes in. So if they're voting as a registered Democrat, it's because that's who they are. That's right. They're that's their identity.
It's about the ideology, yes, and the team as opposed to the candidate.
Well, David Axelrod, Dawn, would disagree with you.
Point in that poll that Dave Wasserman over at Cook tweeted out today, and that was voter interest. There was a big gap between the interest that women expressed in the top boxes, the 10, 9, and men. And that's very uncommon over the years that they've asked that question. And it does raise the question whether women generally vote, 52% of the electorate is generally female. Could that expand a little bit, even a point or two, that, you know, that would make a huge difference in this race? Because my belief is that in my simple mind, I'm going to look at these polls and say, is the gap that she is enjoying among women greater than the gap or even to the gap that he is enjoying among men? And if that is the case in these individual states, she will win those states.
There's David Axelrod. Let me ask you this, because we haven't really talked about this hardly at all. On this show. I mean, we're talking about 8 years ago. Americans rejected Hillary Clinton. Here we are now in 2024. Trump's up against another female candidate. You can give me the electorate being 52% female to 48% male. But at the end of the day, whether people like it or not, and I am totally fine with a female president, just not her. I would prefer to be on the Republican side of the aisle one day, but I've also said on this show that I do believe we will have a female president before we ever have a third party president. I don't think I'll see a third party president in my lifetime, because my lifetime is going to expire in about 21 years. but I mean, let's talk about the uncomfortable subject for females. There's a lot of men out there that do not believe a female is qualified or strong enough to be the president of the United States of America. So, I mean,
think there's a lot?
I absolutely do. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, that's not my personal belief. If there's a female out there that's a kick-ass, you know, and she, it's just not Kamala. That much I can tell you, right? And I've been on the record of saying it's a good thing Michelle Obama is not running, because if Michelle Obama was the candidate today, I'm telling you, she beats Donald Trump. And I think she overrides what I just said, so I don't want to contradict myself. I think she would become the president. But I think they look at Kamala and they see weakness on the global stage. And I think that matters, because I do believe China and Iran and North Korea and, the Gaza, everything that we're seeing globally, this does not happen under Trump. And how do we know that? Because we witnessed it. We saw it, right? Media loses their mind. Oh, he's stroking Putin. He said Xi's a smart man. He's on top of his game. He's yucking it up with Kim Jong-un. I don't care who he yucked it up with or who he praised. He prevented war. It's called stroking egos. Sometimes you have to do that, right? Trump's good at that. I think these global leaders will continue to steamroll this administration. And if Xi gets in, they will run roughshod because they don't fear her and they don't fear America. So I do think that that factors in. I really do. And I don't know if that's a sexist view, but I think there are men out there that will sit there and say, I cannot vote for a female because I don't believe she's strong enough.
I personally believe it comes down to the brand. So this particular vice president has not been elevated by Democrats, by the Biden administration. So they did call her the border czar. I mean, they did, and the media used that for a time and put her in charge of that. But I think the mistake of Democrats was that they should have elevated the vice president's brand much earlier, because they knew they had an aging president and they wanted to pass the baton. And so that was a huge tactical error. And I know they don't usually do that, but I will say Republicans can learn from that. And so in this case, if Trump gets in there, and I believe that he will, I think that he is somebody at the age of, 78 years old, that they need to think about that. Yeah. And put, whether it's putting forth the so-called Avengers, all of those 40-something-year-olds or, pushing 50-something-year-olds, and putting them front and center to then start showing off that new generation of Republicans, I think that would behoove them. But I think in this case, Democrats were not wise to do that. I think Joe Biden, I mean, obviously it's not something they usually do.
Yeah.
Because they have huge egos.
Well, midway through his first term, they were trying to replace her on the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
They thought she was a drain on the party.
And why is that?
So you don't elevate and promote,
popular.
Right. And you don't promote a brand when you're trying to replace that individual, right? Because she didn't have a brand. And by the way, too, I also, and this is not just Republicans saying that my claim that some men will not vote for a female regardless. It's not just Republicans. I actually think there's male Democrats out there that would not vote for a female for the reasons I just said, too. And then you talk about these brands. And here's the thing. We talk about brands and strength. Kamala Harris, remember with Bill Whitaker. Or maybe it was Scott Pelley. It was one of the two on 60 Minutes about the global escalation of war. And he propped up Kamala and said, what is your response to whatever the conflict was? And she said, don't. And the reporter was like, oh, just like Joe? That's right. Just like Joe. Don't. That, do you think any of these global leaders see somebody say, don't? And they're going to, like, if I look at my dog and I leave a slice of pizza on the table and I say, Ace, don't. Do you think he's going to listen to me? No, probably not. He's going to swipe that slice as soon as I go to the bathroom.
If you train Ace properly,
he's well trained. It's not Ace's fault. By the way,
he's a pain in the ass.
The Democrats' ace, the president, he is still the president, Joe Biden. He's going to, the headline this morning, he's going to watch the results from the White House residence as he faces a quiet end to the campaign. And so you do wonder. I would love to be a bug on the wall, as the president says, as he watches this come in, because I still think that we're going to hear at some point within the next 6 months Joe Biden say, I could have won this.
We've heard some stories this morning of people of some issues at some voting booths here. The Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner yesterday issued a stern warning to anybody trying to intimidate voters. This is Cut 10, Phil, go.
any deep abiding fears or concerns. We don't have any reports. I want people to be reassured that when they get up tomorrow to go vote, if they have not voted already, that everybody in this city is working and has been working for months to make sure that there will be nothing tough about that experience and nothing to fear in that experience. But I also want to be clear, anybody who thinks it's time to play militia, F around and find out. Anybody who thinks it's time to insult, to deride, to mistreat, to threaten people, F around and find out. We do have the cuffs, we do have the jail cells, we do have the Philly juries, and we have the state prisons. So if you're going to try to turn an election into some form of coercion, if you're going to try to bully people, bully votes or voters, you're going to try to erase votes, you're going to try any of that nonsense.
Yeah, Democrats.
We're not playing. Yeah. F around and find out.
F-A-F-O.
It's funny he has the balls to do this
Yeah.
But with crime,
yeah.
It's like, well, let's get to the root cause. Yeah. It's a cultural issue.
Yeah, Larry, when are you going to sit here and say that to all the career criminals? And why do you have those jails?
God, I hate
why do you have those handcuffs? Oh, because you're not using them currently because you don't prosecute crime. This is a 63-year-old with no testicles, okay? Larry Krasner has no cojones, no nuts. He might as well be a criminal defense lawyer, right? And at 63 years old, now all of a sudden he wants to be podium tough guy, right? And use things like F around and find out.
Yeah.
Like, leave that for the 23-year-olds or the 33-year-olds, pops, all right? just shut it down.
I can't take this guy. This guy who has been a scourge to our lovely city for years now. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's
re-elected.
Tough. It's tough.
They keep voting for him.
It's tough on this. Mm-hmm. This is what he's tough on.
I have no
There's
idea.
Drive-by damn shootings all over the city, and this is what he's tough on.
Yeah.
F you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Voting and elections, they have consequences. So, yeah, that's why, you know what? Honestly, I don't feel bad. I really don't. You know what? I don't have to live here, right? I live on the outskirts. I live in Bluebell. I don't deal with it. I don't vote for it. And you continue to vote for it. You, the people of Philadelphia, not this audience specifically, obviously, but you as a lifelong Philadelphian or a Democrat, you keep voting for this guy. You keep him in office. You deserve what you get. And I don't feel bad for you.
Yesterday, Joe Rogan endorsed Donald Trump to the surprise of nobody. Trump talked about this on at one of his rallies. I think this was in Pittsburgh last night when he got the news, the breaking news that Joe Rogan had endorsed him. This is cut 12. Phil, go.
I have some more big news, Megan. I'm just getting this right now. So somebody that's very, very respected asked me to do his show 2 weeks ago, and I said, why not? And to me, it's very big because he's the biggest there is, I guess, in that world by far. Somebody said the biggest beyond anybody in a long time. And his name is Joe Rogan, and he's never done this before. And it just came over the wires that Joe Rogan just endorsed me. Is that correct? Thank you, Joe.
He endorsed Bernie.
That's so nice.
Oh, was he a Bernie guy?
Yeah.
And he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that, so. And he tends to be a little bit more liberal than some of the people in this room. No, I had a lot of fun, and he was amazing, and it was a three-hour interview. In fact, I was 2 hours late for a rally that we had. I had explained that a little bit, and it was cold out that night. We flew, but we had to make it. We were more than 2 hours late, and they understood. I said, you know, I just was interviewed by a very interesting guy, and he just kept going on. They called it a long form, and it could have gone a lot longer, but he was great. And he's not a person that does endorsements, but he did an endorsement, so I just want to thank Joe Rogan. That's fantastic.
All right, so a couple of things here on the endorsement factor. I don't think endorsements generally work. And I also think the more past your prime you are in regards to where you used to be in the pop culture spectrum, it carries even less weight. So just to point it out on both sides, I don't think Bruce Springsteen is going to work. I don't think Michael Keaton is going to work for the Democrats. I also don't think Hulk Hogan and Kid Rock work for Donald Trump. But if endorsements are worth anything, if you're at the top of your game in your said profession, in the limelight currently, then I would say, all right, maybe Taylor Swift, a little bit of an impact. Maybe Joe Rogan, a little bit of an impact. But by and large, I think they don't work. Although I disagree with Stocker. Look, could I have seen Rogan voting for Trump? Yes. But in the light of what has played out with the invitation for the Joe Rogan experience, Trump went on. Vance went on. Hell, John Fetterman went on. Kamala did not. I think in a way, and remember, she was trying to strong arm Rogan. We're going to do an hour. We're going to do this. This might be off limits. And Rogan's like, no, nothing's off limits, and if it happens to be 3 hours, that's, you know, it's not like Trump agreed to do 3 hours. That's just how long it went, right? I think this is Rogan sticking it to Kamala. I know, Stocker, you disagree, but I think this is a last minute of, because let's face it, if you're Joe Rogan, do you have an ego? She doesn't want to sit down with you? Okay. All right, I endorsed Bernie before. Now I'm going to come out and do it for Trump. Go pound sand, Veep.
Yesterday, they all the candidates made their way all throughout Pennsylvania. Kamala Harris was in Allentown. This is cut three. She was in Allentown, and she said this. Cut three, go.
And every day I see the promise of America in all the young leaders who are voting for the first time. I love Gen Z.
She loves Gen Z.
Yeah, it's funny. We have tape of her saying that young people are stupid.
What else do we know about this population, 18 through 24? They are stupid.
Oh, on demand.
That is why we put them in dormitories.
Ah.
And they have a resident assistant.
Yeah.
They make really bad decisions.
They smoke weed and drink Mountain Dew, eat Doritos, and play on the Xbox. Yeah, I remember those days.
Oh, God. Yeah. I hate phony politics.
So, Gen Z, I love you. And the Utes. And they're a stupid bunch of people.
By the way, Joe Rogan quoting the influence of Elon Musk, saying that Elon Musk made the most compelling case for Trump. And that is what Rogan credits.
Mm.
He says, the great and powerful Elon Musk, if it wasn't for him, we'd be effed.
What?
For the record, yes, that's an endorsement of Trump.
Would be, you know, when we see who wins this thing, whenever we find out, and for whatever the reason might be, you're looking at exit polling numbers. Did Trump get to this number with black voters? Did he get to this number with Jewish voters? Did women with Roe v. Wade, was that the reason why Kamala won? Things like that. Was abortion the top issue for said liberal female? Wouldn't it be wild if Trump is victorious because of the Bobby Kennedy, Elon Musk, Joe Rogan faction of society that is anti-big government, anti-big agency, anti-pharma, but still has liberal viewpoints? Wouldn't it be wild if it's that demographic of voter out there in America that slid to the Trump side because they were, and not that the endorsements matter, but because they were of the same migration politically as Musk, Rogan, and Kennedy? Now, Kennedy's just a pimp. He just sold his services, right? I think Bobby Kennedy, for the right reasons, would have been in Kamala's corner had that 100% played out.
100%.
Yeah.
He's a Kennedy. They have no values.
That's right.
You
want to go on a Kennedy day?
No.
It's election day. You want to go on one?
We should break because every line is lit. So.
Yeah. Wow. All right. We'll take all of your phone calls. We got our buddy Mark Fu and a lot of others. So hang tight.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, Election Day, Tuesday, November 5th, 2024. As we get ready to vote, some of you have voted, some of you will be voting later today. And then we sit back, we wait, we watch. Don't forget tonight, live election night coverage right here On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, myself, Don Stensel, and Rich Zeoli, right at 7 o'clock, right after the Rich Zeoli Show wraps up. Our boy Jimmy Failla, Michael Pelka, our boy Rooney, Dom Giordano in the second half. He'll take you deep into the night. 855-839-1210. By the way, Stocker, are you going to be popping on or doing anything, or are you just coordinating from behind the scenes?
It's not about me.
It's not about you guys. Okay. Let's get to some of our callers. Let me actually start with our buddy Sergeant Mark Fu, who is on line six. Mark Fusetti, what's happening, pal? What did you see today?
Hi, good morning, everybody.
What's up, pal?
Gotta say, it was easy. It was in and out. I probably would have been in and out even faster, but, you know, yeah, workers inside seemed like they were having a little bit of trouble IDing some people. Not like checking their IDs, but finding out if they were registered or not. So other than that, it was easy. So hope that's, you know, not a sign to, that people aren't going to come out today, but, you know, we'll see. Usually up here we have a really good turnout. Everybody usually gets out and votes. Early morning, you know, dinner time rush, and then at last minute.
So all in all, roughly how long do you think you were there from when you were in line till you walked out the door?
8 minutes.
Eight minutes. Wow, that's efficient.
And you're in the lower northeast Philadelphia, Mayfair.
Far northeast. I'm all the way up at the very end.
Oh, you're far northeast. Okay.
Yeah. So we have a lot of the, you know, immigrant community of Russians, Ukrainian up here. So, you know, there's a, you know, a lot of the people that were in there were, you know, of that descent. So it was just me and a few of them, and that was it. Picture I posted on Twitter was poll workers. There was nobody waiting in line. There was, when I got in there, there was only three people ahead of me. Okay. And then by the time I left, there was probably like six or seven people just waiting to get their slip to go into the pool.
All right. Mark Fusetti, so, thanks for checking in, brother.
It's been easy so far.
All right, dude. We'll talk to you. There he is, Sergeant Mark Fu. Nice contributor. Anytime we need some crime information, he's always available. We appreciate that. Let me try Rich in Hamilton on line two. Rich, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Rich, you go right ahead, sir.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Rich.
Actually, I'm in West Deptford. We voted over here in West Deptford. We walked in, we walked out. Couldn't have been more than 10 minutes.
Wow.
They had at least, I want to say, 10 people signing people in. The polling place was so efficient. There was no problem whatsoever. It took me longer to walk from my car to the actual polling place than it did to actually vote.
Okay.
Nice.
Very good. Rich in West Deptford, thank you very much. Let's continue getting all your thoughts. This is an interesting call. Line five, I've got CJ in Havertown. CJ, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Love the show, obviously. Really quick, so this morning I was in line for about 25 minutes. Probably took me about 5 minutes to vote once I got in. So it's fairly easy. The line was long around the corner,
yep.
But it was efficient, no problems. I was calling to piggyback off what Dawn was talking about earlier. For reference, me and my wife are both African-American. We're a split household. I'm a Republican. She's a Democrat.
Okay.
But as of now, she would classify herself as a true undecided. She literally has no idea what she's going to do today when she goes to vote.
Wow.
That doesn't mean she's going to vote for Trump.
Right.
But she knows for a fact she's not voting for Kamala.
Wow.
And this is a lifelong Democrat. She says there's something about her she doesn't like. She cannot stand her.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that doesn't mean that's an automatic vote for Trump. She may go Libertarian. She may go Dirt. She may go Green Party, whatever.
Yep.
But she knows today, for a fact, she will not vote for Kamala Harris.
How about that? That's and so fact. She is, as you said, a true undecided. I mean, this literally could come down to when she gets in that booth and then goes with intuition, gut instinct, whatever you call it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, like, if I got on the phone right now, she'd tell you herself.
Okay.
She knows she's not voting for Kamala.
All right.
So you're in Delaware County. I mean, the Trump campaign has spent a lot of time in Delco. Is it, do you, Do you think that that was time well spent by the campaign? Did that impact your wife? They were talking a lot about the economy. Taxes have gone up in Delco. Does that have any impact on it? Or is it just...
It's definitely the economy. Well, I mean, for me, on a personal level, I mean, for her, I think, I don't want to speak for her, right? But I think that she thinks that Colin is just not likable.
Mm-hmm.
She comes off as phony.
Yeah.
Now, the economy is a big thing for us. We do fairly well for ourselves. Like, you know, she works at a big-time university up here. You know, I work in the defense industry. We do fairly well. But we find ourselves growing into our savings. We find ourselves using credit cards a little more than we would like.
Yep.
And just going to the supermarket is a big thing for us. We have a 2-year-old and an 8-year-old, and they eat, and we eat. And we try to eat as healthy as possible.
Yep.
And that means a lot of steak and a lot of protein, but that stuff costs money.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a struggle. Like, we're spending hundreds of dollars for maybe 2 bags of things, and that just wasn't the case 4 years ago.
Right.
And I think that's also something that she, you know, that is affecting how she feels about this.
Yeah. No, I can see that. Yeah.
And,
yep.
And I will say my last thought. It's Republicans, I don't like their ground game in Delaware County. I have one person come to our door. Meanwhile, we've had 3 Democrats come to our door since this thing started. So we got to fix this election season.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that is a problem. I already knew what I was doing. I voted down ballot. I'm not afraid to admit that. I didn't care at this point. I voted down ballot because that's what matters to me.
Right.
My son does not go to public school. You know, he does not go to the school district here. He goes to a traditional Catholic school in Ardmore because we know that, you know, I can't trust these public schools not to indoctrinate my son, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
So that's my decision.
I got you. CJ, thank you so much for the phone call. How about that? A true undecided.
I didn't
think that existed.
That ground game thing is a huge, I mean,
yeah.
We'll see how much ground game matters, if it matters at all. I don't necessarily think it does, but the Harris campaign had an immense ground game.
Yeah, it came to my door.
I saw nil for the Trump campaign, at least where I am. So, you know, I don't know. Does ground game matter? Maybe, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
But he did have a very good point there in Delco about the ground game.
Yeah, to the grocery point, CJ, if you missed the show at 6:30, go back and listen. I gave you the story from Politico about how grocery prices could be a deciding factor with Pennsylvania. So
some of the people who came to the door, not in Philadelphia, but in the burbs, were pushy. Were men who, you know, women, aunt moms answering the door. I got that from so many different people saying, you know, they respect somebody who's a volunteer, no matter what their party affiliation. But some of these guys were kind of aggressive and sexist.
Wow.
That did not go over well.
Interesting. All right. The name of the game is Stay in Line for voting. And for calling this show. So everybody that's on my board right now, hang tight. I want to get all of your thoughts. 855-839-1210. The phone number. We'll get to all of your calls on the other side and all of the typical stuff in the 9 o'clock hour.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I see Fox News with the, like, aerial shots of, like, Pennsylvania. We're getting real live reporting from people standing in line here. That's why this is the best station. This is what you should tune into all day long and into the wee hours of the night. Don't turn us off because we have live, you know, reactions from people who are voting, who are there in the townships that we live in or surrounding counties. So this is the place to be. This isn't some national.
Correct.
This is why we're live and local here. Days like this is why we are live and local here all day long. Because you're not getting some national perspective. You're not getting people who've never been to Pennsylvania. You're getting people who live in this city. And you're not getting fake people who pretend to live in this city to do a radio show here, but actually don't live in this city. These are actual people who live in this area that are giving you their reporting from the ground. So that's why 1210 WPHT is the place to be all day, all day long, all week long, every day. But this is, you know, your genuine reaction here from people who live here.
Yes.
Don't fall for the phonies.
There you go.
I have to tell you, I'm humbled and honored for those of you just maybe tuning in for the first time, whether it's to YouTube or Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It's an honor to be here and to be part of this because it is something very special that's happening. And Greg, I think this is the first time, at least in a very long time, where this station has been live and local from early in the morning, the wee hours of the morning, right, till late at night.
I think it might be since WWDB.
Oh my goodness!
So yes, so this will be the first. This will be the first election where we will be here with you all day long, all evening long, into the wee hours. Not a national perspective from people who aren't here. Not even a local perspective from people who pretend to be here.
There you go.
All local people here, right here. Thank you.
By the way, too, because tonight we're going to have all of that for you, myself, Dawn, and Rich, starting at 7, right after Rich wraps up the afternoon show, and then Jimmy Fallon, Michael Pelka, Matt Rooney, Dom from 9 to 11. I think I'll be wrapping up about 9 o'clock, so I'll be specifically on from 7 to 9. But do we, and I don't know if I should ask the question on the air or not, but what the hell, I already brought it up. Do we want to take calls tonight throughout the evening as well?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because I didn't know if we would have the capability with us being remote from home.
That'll be the most important part of tonight's show. Yes, 100%. So everybody call in, stay online. I know, you know, our call volume today is higher than usual. So please be patient and stay on hold.
Right.
But we will get to all of you.
Yes.
And for those of you calling in, election attorneys are listening, and that's the power of this, that they're listening, they're doing filings. So when you call in, when you see something and then you say something, it is being reported and dealt with in real time.
Yep.
100%. That is correct. 855-839-1210. I'm just going to go right from top to bottom here. Tom is in Perkasie. Tom, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Tom, you go right ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. And for the new listeners out there, GregStockerSucks.com.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. Love you, buddy.
So, love you, too. So, listen, I live in West Rock Hill. It's a Republican stronghold. I was in line almost as long as I was on hold, but that's another thing. But anyway, I was voter number 151. I had gotten a mail-in ballot but decided I was going to vote in person to see the process. So I got there. The lady took my name. I could have said I was Joe Schmo. Did not ask for ID.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a table, turned in my, or what they call that, turned in my mail-in ballot, went back, signed in electronically, no ID required, came back, did my ballot, put it in the envelope. Then I put it in the secret envelope with all my information on it. Never asked for ID. Handed it to the poll worker that was there, and he took my envelope without any ID.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me. I ran into a buddy of mine outside that was standing in line. I said, Rich, I could have identified as you, and they would have never known.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Tom. It's the same thing I ran into in 2022 for the midterms, 2 Octobers ago. I went in, the lady asked for, I forget what was like the first three letters of my last name, and I think the first three letters of my first name, and she never asked for ID, so I just took my driver's license out, and I make sure every time I put it down on the table so that they can see it, regardless.
Yeah, I had my driver's license. I had my registration card, and nobody ever asked for it.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So, yeah, it's still, and I think we'll do well. But again, great show, guys.
Thanks, Tom.
Look forward to a greater week.
Yep. Hopefully. Fingers crossed, brother.
By the way, a lot of people are asking if we will be on YouTube. Yes, we will be on YouTube all day and all night.
Yes.
So just make sure, if you haven't done so, because of reasons that I won't bore anybody with, we have to kind of switch feeds sometimes. So make sure you're subscribing and you're hitting the bell, because when you hit the bell, it alerts you as soon as we go live.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you can ring my
bell. Exactly. Yeah. You can know when we go live. We'll be live up until 10 o'clock. Then Dawn will be live. Dom will be live. Rich will be live from McCormick headquarters in Pittsburgh today. Again, another local perspective that you're not getting anywhere else from any sort of nationally syndicated show that tapes 2 hours in advance, that you know, is on their private helicopter somewhere. It's the real live. Yeah, I'm blowtorching.
I love today. Sticking people.
I'm blowtorching today to all the phonies out there. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people who we kicked off this radio station going on to other radio stations, trashing this radio station. Screw you all. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's trashing us.
Nobody.
Yeah. And can we get a private helicopter?
It's not even worth talking about.
Stalker's taking out the trash right now.
Did Nick Cale get a private chopper in his new contract?
No.
I mean, come on.
5,000 watt radio station. Ooh, we should be scared.
No private chopper, Dawn. But I will say this. If you've ever wanted to see me in my smoking jacket, in my slippers late at night, tonight's your night.
Ooh.
But yes, we will be broadcasting live all day on and all night on YouTube, so make sure you put us on your big screen.
Yeah. All right, 855-839-1210. Let's continue on with your calls. Joe is in Columbus, New Jersey. He wants to talk a little Ricky Martin. Hello, Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys. Before I talk about that, I just want to tell you, it was so much a pleasure meeting you at the mock debate.
It was great to meet you as well.
Nah, you guys, you're tops. And Kamala, I think the only alternative she would have to calling herself an underdog is calling herself the bestowed. So I guess it was the lesser of both evils. how appropriate and timely was it for Ricky Martin to pick that song, La Vida Loca?
Yeah.
Doesn't that translate out to the crazy life?
That's right. Voting for her and putting her in office for another 4 years would be the crazy life after these last four, right?
And the last 4 years.
Yep. Totally agree.
Unbelievable.
I agree.
Unbelievable.
Yep. I personally would have went Enrique Iglesias, but she chose Ricky Martin, the lesser of the two. So that's another calculated misstep by their administration. Let's continue. Let's see. Where do I want to go here? Let's do Bob in Malvern. He's got an update from his call from yesterday. Bob, you go ahead.
Hey, I want to know what Greg Stocker's real feelings are about how coverage is done in the area.
Greg, stop dialing it back. Can you be a little untapped?
I'm sorry.
Come on, let's go.
I'm very passionate about this radio station, okay? I'm very passionate about the radio station and the people on it, and I don't like, you know, I don't like to be overlooked. I don't like to be overlooked by FM sports stations, and I don't like to be overlooked by anybody. You know, what we do here is important, what we do here is great, and if I'm not here blowing the horn, nobody else will. Sorry.
Oh, and I think Bob evaporated.
Bob!
Come back to me.
Anyway, hey, this is really important stuff. So the update from yesterday, so we go down to voter services after, remember, we did two identical mail-in ballots, the same date, the same place, the same drop box, meticulously filled out, the same thing. Mine's recorded, hers is.
Yeah, now.
Everyone there has the same problem. Okay, and what it is you go into voter services online and you see that your ballot has not been returned. That's what they say. So they look up after about 15 minutes and they find out, oh, well, we got it, but there was some verification issue. I said, well, what does that mean? Well, it could have been you put down the wrong social. No way. My wife has voted for the last 6 years and she's lived in this state with the same telephone number, the same address, the same name, the same Social Security number, the same. I said, no way. So after 15 minutes, though, they said, well, we have to void your ballot. They give you a form. You fill it out. You have to show your ID, your photo ID, and they give you a new ballot. Mm-hmm. So after we get the new ballot, okay, so it's nice. They accept it. We put it in. I asked them, I said, what would have happened if we didn't come in? And they said, your ballot would have not been counted.
Wow.
So there it is. There is, I saw yesterday on TV, I don't know if it's true, there is a 500,000 Pennsylvania ballots in limbo for this exact reason.
Oh, Bob, it's funny you say that, because, Dawn, you brought that up earlier this morning with the early numbers, and you were of the belief, and I don't want to put words into your mouth, that they were in transit still, or...
I keep hearing this. I've been hearing this week with the mail-ins, and it concerns me. And just in case somebody's just tuning in, Bob, the story was, okay, you're in Malvern, Pennsylvania. One of you and your wife changed your affiliation. So you changed it to independent or Democrat, but your wife remained Republican. She's the one who's having it, as I recall. Is that correct?
He's gone.
He's gone. But he's I think that was the story.
Okay.
But in other words, one of them had, for whatever reason, changed it, thinking to do a little experiment, because it doesn't matter what the registration is, that if I go, maybe I won't get targeted or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife was the one, as a longtime Republican, who seemed to be having the problem. That's concerning.
Yeah. 855-839-1210.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.